And at first you think that, you know, this best friend character has kind of brought it on herself because she's told a bunch of lies.
Yeah.
But then you find out that it's actually the T-1000 that's kind of spread all these rumors. Yeah. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two Asian Blokes Podcast, a podcast where we talk about Asian pop culture, films, TV shows, comic books, anime, music, food, video games, whatever we're feeling at the time. Really, my name is Dan with the H, and with me, as always, but this time in the flesh, is my co-host Tavi. Hello, Tavi.
Hi, Dan. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're in the same vicinity for a change, so making things a little bit easier for me.
Yep, yep.
So we're nice, crisp, and clean.
Makes things a lot harder for me having to look at your mug, Tavi. Oh, tell you that much.
Jesus Christ, Dan, that's a bit harsh. I mean, you didn't want to do the recording. You just told me.
No, everybody's happy. Everybody's happy to be here.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy that I'm here. And depending on this, when this comes out, I will have been here for like a month or so, maybe.
Yeah, it would be a month.
Don't worry about continuity. Nobody cares about Two Asian Blokes continuity.
Yeah, no one cares about continuity.
What matters is we're here, we're ready to talk about Mask Girl, which is a TV show that was on Netflix, if you don't know about it, a Korean TV show. So we'll be talking about that for today's episode. But before we do that, should we do our reoccurring segment, Tavi?
Yeah, let's do it.
What have we been watching?
I guess to keep in theme with today, since we're covering a K-drama, I was watching a pretty stereotypical K-drama the other day. I felt like watching something extremely easy to watch, like something not with zero stakes, but that's just like, you know, just pretty much its only purpose is really to entertain. So I was watching Strong Girl Bong Soon. Is that what it's called?
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's the one with the one with Park Bo Young in it. She is like probably the queen of like being cute, I guess.
Yeah, that's her brand.
This particular drama is, I guess, kind of old now. I think it came out in 2016, 2017. Yeah, so it's a few years old. The only reason I picked this one in particular is because I think there's going to be a spin-off that's coming out pretty soon.
Oh, yeah, there's two of them. Strong Girl Bong Soon and Strong Girl Nam Soon.
Yeah, so Nam Soon is the new one that's coming out.
Is that Chun So Min?
No, it's got Lee Yu Mi in it from Squid Game fame. I look at her as an actress. She's pretty cool, and she's also easy on the eyes as well. So it's one of those. Yeah. So I thought, if I'm going to be watching that show, I might as well watch the first one, even though these kind of K-dramas are not typically my wheelhouse. But I have actually watched a drama with Park Bo Young in it a while ago. I think it was called Oh My Ghost or something, and she plays a girl that is like possessed. Oh, not possessed. She can see ghosts.
Okay.
And it's like this pretty like kind of cute K-drama with some surprisingly dark elements in it.
Okay.
And that's even the same for Strong Girl Bong Soon. Like, the story is just basically Park Bo Young plays Bong Soon, who is a girl who has supernatural strength. And she comes from a lineage of like a family where the females in their family have like abnormal strength, but their strength will disappear if they use their like power to do like selfish or evil things.
Okay.
So yeah. And I've only watched like two and a half episodes. And I was surprised by like some of the darker elements of this show. There's like this serial killer subplot that's going on. I mean, there's a typical like sort of a, like a love triangle thing that's between her and I think the person she's supposed to bodyguard, because the plot is that she becomes a bodyguard of this CEO game company that she wants to join. because he sees her like her like feats of strength because she beats up like these thugs.
Mm.
Like she's like trying to suppress her powers, but like yeah, she beats up a bunch of thugs and he sees her, like, yeah, be my bodyguard. But then she has this cop guy that she really likes, and that kind of typical K drama thing.
Okay,
and it's like yeah, it's pretty like. It's pretty mindless entertainment, but like the characters are all pretty fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm surprisingly enjoying the show more than I expected.
Okay.
There's definitely some like, it's hard with like K-dramas because, you know, we always say there's so many episodes and it's kind of like, there's like these random subplots that just come in that like, I'm just not interested in watching.
Is this one of those shows that has lots of episodes?
Yeah, there's like, I think there's 16 episodes.
Oh, that's not too many.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, because I actually, there's quite a few K-dramas that I've been wanting to watch that have come out this year. There's Revenant, which has Kim Tae-ri from Handmaiden fame. And I think it's about this girl that like exercises demons or something, and it looks very much like the Wailing kind of thing.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly at the plot, but it does look cool.
Sure.
Moving as well, which is on Disney Plus. Right. Yeah, yeah. Apparently it's been getting pretty good reviews, but it's also kind of flown under the radar here as well. Yeah. So
Bloodhounds looked okay.
Yeah. Bloodhounds. I watched a little bit of it and then got bored. Okay. It was a bit, a
okay.
It was fine for what it was, but it was a little bit too generic.
Yeah,
okay. And I'm watching one at the moment, a first episode of another K-drama that we may or may not cover if it's good near the end. But from the first episode, I quite liked. It's called Song of the Bandits.
Okay.
And yeah, it's basically a K-drama of the good, the bad, and the weird. It's just a Korean Western.
Okay, I like the sound of that.
But yeah, that was something that we should cover if it's any good. But yeah.
Do you think you'll finish Strong Girl Bong soon?
Yeah, probably. Like it's because I've been watching a lot of like pretty easy to watch movies as of recently. So I've kind of been like shifting my focus a bit, like less from kind of like art housey stuff to just more
lighter stuff.
I probably will keep watching it just at a like a leisurely pace though, because it's I'm not a big fan of like binging shows per se, so
but I find K-dramas a little bit hard to finish, especially if they are of many episodes. I still haven't finished Happiness. We were going to talk about Happiness at some point, but I just couldn't finish.
Happiness is good. It's not even
It's
long.
Not even bad, but I was just like, it's...
Yeah. No, that's fair. I think last year I was talking about that show W, which Han Hyo Jo is in, and she's in Moving as well.
Yeah.
And it's all right. It's good, but it's just like, yeah, it's long. And it's just like, yeah. And it's got I use... you know, boyfriend in it, so aren't you?
Your
just
enemy.
Like, my enemy.
Yeah.
Just like getting both of the women that I like. This guy, man, just calm down, buddy. Just calm down, man.
Yeah, you don't need all the girls. Just save some for the rest of us.
Yeah. Save some for like broke filmmakers in Australia, you know? Yeah. But no, what have you been watching, man?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll stick with Korea as well. I've been watching JYP's reality competition TV show web series A2K.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You seen any of this?
No, you were telling me about it the other day.
Yeah, so it's basically JYP goes around America and does the recruiting process, I guess. Mm. He goes to different towns in America, has tryouts, picks the girls that he likes. So he's got two shows. One is for his new girl group and one is for his new boy band. Mm-hmm. I think I haven't watched the boy band one.
Yeah.
But I've seen A2K again, like kind of paying maybe 70% attention because I'm just kind of watching it with my partner here and there. But yeah, I mean, it's fairly entertaining. I haven't watched one of those like singing competition shows in a long time. Since like the Australian Idol days, I reckon. But, I mean, it is basically that format, with the exception that it's only JYP. There are no other judges.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't need all the other judges. Yeah. You need just JYP.
Yeah, I like JYP. He's pretty... The thing I like about JYP is that he clearly knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, he he can do everything that he expects from his idols. Like, he can sing, he can dance. And so when he gives critique to them, I'm like, there's like a certain level of authority that he has.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Sometimes I don't really agree with him, but he knows much more than me. So I'm like, yeah, he's probably right. And I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Like he's giving these tryouts to these young girls, and like, it's pretty lighthearted stuff, really. It's not really like over dramatized or anything.
Yeah,
it's like got the typical like tense music sometimes and drawn out kind of like, you know, that thing where like he'll like say, the thing about your performance was, and then there'll be like a dramatic sting and like close ups of like the shots of like the girls, and then he was like, I really liked it. And she's like, oh. So there is a bit of that. But that's what makes it fun, right?
Yeah.
The thing about this show is that his selection process and like the selection format that he's going with is really vague. He's got a necklace that he gives them when they get into like the final 10, right? And they have to collect stones by doing good performances.
Mm.
But it's unclear like how many stones they need to progress to the next round.
Yeah.
So like when he gives them a stone, it's kind of meaningless in a way.
Yeah,
it's like, you did a good job, so here's a stone. But then ultimately like the stones don't really mean anything because he just chooses whoever he wants to take to Korea in the end.
Yeah.
And it was weird. There was like 10 girls left before they made the leap to go to Korea. So they had this kind of final tryout, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't have a set number of people that I'm taking to Korea. So you could theoretically all make it. Or maybe I'll just take one person. Like, I don't know yet. You have to show me what you've got. So then like they do their performances and stuff, and he gives them all like his praise and his critiques and stuff.
Mm.
And then they line up all the girls and he announces like one by one, this girl's going to Korea. You're going to Korea. The next person going to Korea is. And then like it gets down to two girls, right? And I'm like, surely they're all going to Korea. If there's only two girls left, and then he says, and you're going to Korea. And then there's one girl left. And I'm like, okay, yeah, of course, he's gonna take them all. And then he's like, unfortunately, you will not be going to Korea. And so he chose 9 girls to take to Korea out of 10 and left this one girl hanging. And I'm like, oh my God, like, way to just shatter this girl's confidence.
That's the nature of the beers, you know?
Yeah, no, but still, it's so hard. It's like a teenage girl who just loves singing and performing. And like, she's like, what? You couldn't buy one more ticket to Korea?
Nah, it's cutthroat. I mean, Just because she's been eliminated doesn't mean that he's not going to use her for something else. That's what happened with like when Twice, because Twice were on 16, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was the name of that reality show. And I think it was Momo got like, I was going to say executed, but Momo got cut from the competition.
Yeah.
And so did Chewy, I think, as well.
Yeah.
But then he's just like, oh, I'll bring them back because like I like them. And now like they're arguably like some of the more popular members of the group.
Yeah, I guess like in a way, sure, that could happen to this girl. But he kind of robbed her of that kind of bonding experience and that the excitement of taking that trip to Korea with this group of girls that she's kind of like bonded with over time.
Yeah.
So like even if he was to bring her back, why take that away from her is what I'm saying. That's like, were there not enough seats in the van? Did he only have a certain number of... I don't understand his thinking, his thought process behind this.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. Maybe it just makes good television to just like...
I mean, we're talking about it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, to have someone get broken. So is this on Disney Plus?
No, this is on YouTube.
You can watch it
all for free on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
It's pretty enjoyable. And like, I think it's finished now, so he's got the group, like the group's already formed.
What are they called?
It's called VCHA.
I have not heard of them. I know that there's some new groups that have debuted recently, but I don't know if they were like JYP related or anything like that.
I mean, their debut song is okay.
Yeah,
I don't really remember how it goes, but I remember thinking, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, like I've never been a fan of singing competition shows in general.
Yeah.
Because, like, to be honest, anyone that makes it through in an Australian one is like forgotten after in about a month's time.
No, about that. Guy Sebastian Tavi.
Guy Shannon Sebastian, Noll. Shannon Noll, Anthony Kalia.
Lee Harding. Lee. He had that song Wasabi, Tavi.
Yeah, wow. Wasabi. Try releasing that song today.
Matt Corby.
Yeah.
There's so many of them.
Yeah, but like, I mean, how many of them? I mean, the good thing about those shows in Korea is like the people that win those shows, most of them become like international stars, like twice, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the best girl group, like
What do you think is the difference there?
I think that's a pretty good question.
Do you think that K-pop is just that right amount of manufacturing that that kind of show translates into good K-pop? Whereas Australia, it's more kind of indie, more kind of underground, gets the respect. So.
I think Asians are just more sad and depraved. So we need some kind of idol like group to take us away from our depressive lives. Okay. Whereas like people in Australia,
they hate idols.
They hate idols. Yeah, we're kind of like we're a lot happier here, and we value. I think Australians value the cross. I think so. Yeah, I mean, like, not to get too, but there are like statistics of like depression and stuff and blah blah blah. But like, I don't know that much about it. But like, I think generally Aussies are quite a lot happier and a bit more like. We're pretty particular about some of the things we like. We don't enjoy, maybe this is me as a Melburnian, but we don't enjoy like manufactured stuff as much. Yeah,
you guys are a bunch of hipsters.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah.
That the Blackpink concert sold out. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Blackpink. Yeah, I definitely know that. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I feel like. There's something about the Australian culture that kind of almost looks down on celebrities. On like any kind of celebrity, really. It's kind of like this mentality of, what, you think you're better than me because you're famous?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, because we have like Australian versions of Korean reality shows, like The Masked Singer. And it's like in Korea, when it's like revealed, it's actually exciting because it's a pretty famous person or an idol.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
well, you weren't excited when Sandra Sully took her mask off and it was Sandra Sully from Channel 10 News or whatever she's in.
They get like the most like Z grade of celebrities to go on that show. It's like Mark from Next Door. That's like, oh yeah. And then the crowd reaction is like super through the roof.
Yeah, isn't that show super popular? Isn't reality TV in general really popular in Australia?
Yeah, that's actually very true. Yeah. Let's see.
And yet the products that come from them are not that popular.
I think, it's interesting. That just talking about,
it's probably a discussion for another
episode. Yeah, we're kind of going off the rails again.
I think we uncovered a talking point there that will probably require a bit more time to dissect.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, back to, I guess, the good stuff. we're talking about Mask Girl.
Mm.
So do you want to give a quick, brief synopsis of what Mask Girl is
about? So we'll talk
about
this show spoiler-free, and then we'll give you a spoiler warning before we drop spoilers. I think there are a bit of spoilers in this show.
Yeah.
Mask Girl, Netflix. I always don't know what to call these shows because it's not a K-drama, right? Or it is a K-drama.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
K-thriller.
It is considered a...
It's a Korean TV show.
any Korean TV show is under the blanket term a K-drama.
Who said that?
I think that's just like what they're... That's what they're just... Like, if you look at Netflix, it just says K-drama. So it's
I guess. I'm going to call it a Korean TV show. It's like Squid Game is not a K-drama.
Squid Game is still considered a K-drama. But, like, K-dramas are evolving at such a level that they're, like, you know, they're breaking free of what the K-drama, what's the word I'm looking for? Like what we think, what we perceive a K-drama as.
It's probably just my perception of K-dramas is different. I always think of like the super saccharine kind of things.
And then like, just like the slow motion.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And just like,
it's just rain pouring down. Well, anyway, I mean, call it what you want, really. It's a TV show from Korea. It's a thriller, I would call it. Basically centered around a character. Do you have the wiki?
So it's centering around this character called Mask Girl. She's a streamer who, does like a lot of those pre-Twitch days where like you can dance scantily clad and like guys will pay money for you. Cam girl. She's a cam girl. That's right. That's
she's
what
a cam
they call
girl. That's what they called her back in the day. Because it starts off in what, 1999
2009. Lee Mormi is Mask Girl. So she wears a mask and she's quite popular. But in real life, she's just an office worker who is, by Korean beauty standards, considered
ugly.
Yeah, which I don't agree. I don't think she was ugly, but for the sake of the show, she's ugly because, that's what everyone
else said. She's still on a Korean TV show. So.
It's
how ugly could she be, really?
She has that look enough to just get by, but also like pretty enough for people to go, oh, she's not that ugly, that kind of thing.
For the sake of the show, though, she's hideous.
Yeah, okay.
So she hides behind this mask and this persona, Mask Girl, where she's pretty successful, right? As Mask Girl. So she kind of lives this double life where she works in her bland office job and then when she finishes work, she goes home and she gets to perform and dance and do all the stuff that she likes in front of the camera to a bunch of adoring fans that do adore her. But then those two worlds start colliding and bad stuff happens.
Yeah. So this show is, it's pretty interesting because Mask Girl is played by three actresses. The first one, the one that I guess plays the ugly version of Kim Mormi, is I think she's a new actress. I haven't seen her in anything else. Lee Han Byul. And the big reason why I watch this show is because the second actress who plays Kim Mormi is Nana. And I discovered this show because I follow Nana on Instagram. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I could have a bit of a perv. Because Nana's one of those people who are just like, ridiculously good looking that it's just like, you know, an implausible human being like to exist. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And then I think the third one is played by Go Hyun Jung, who I think she is a bit of a veteran in the industry. So there's three versions of her.
And then there's also a little girl version that appears little girl very version, briefly.
The show was not really what I expected.
So did you watch the trailer before you watched it?
No. I'd just seen snippets.
And the thumbnail, right?
I did watch the trailer, It kind of made it look like a psycho thriller. But it is kind of like a mix of genres because each episode has a different protagonist. So the first episode follows Mormi. And then the second episode follows like one of the like big fans of hers on the forums. It's really hard to kind of talk about each now without spoiling
but
it.
You're right. It does have an unexpected format because there's lots of time jumps as well. So the story is not as linear as I expected. Which is a pleasant surprise because I do like experimental storytelling. And it's not overly experimental, I guess. Like, it's nothing
it's
that
sort of, like,
we haven't seen before, but it is just like, it was unexpected because it's a Korean show on Netflix, I guess. So I was like, oh, this is interesting.
You expect to have that kind of Netflix brand of like look.
I mean, like something a bit, I guess, simpler for lack of a better word. Like we watched My Name like a while ago, right? That was just pretty straightforward compared to something like this. And it is quite violent as well, this show.
Which
is also
violent,
unexpected.
It's based off a pretty popular webtoon. Mask Girl. And like, it's pretty interesting because I think one of my friends showed me like a couple of the illustrations of the original comic. And the drawings are quite like simple, but there's also like the art style is pretty interesting. Mm. And I think the show itself has a lot of very creative, different looks. Mm. Each episode feels like different. And each character portrayal of Mommy is quite different as well,
mm.
which we'll probably get into the spoilers section.
Mm,
mm. But yeah, I was not expecting, because like, look, I honestly, like, I think it was like late at night for me and I was just tired and wanted to like unwind. And it's like, oh yeah, Nana's in this show. And it's like, yeah, like I actually watched a little bit of another K-drama last year called Glitch.
Mm-hmm.
And Nana's in that show. And that show is, it's okay. Mm. It's about aliens. I never finished it. I was just like, yeah, I just couldn't get around to finishing it. Just kind of lost my interest. But
sure.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, we'll see how this goes. And if it's good, I'll continue. I wasn't expecting to honestly like finish it off.
Yeah.
And then like the first few episodes, she's not even in the show, but I was quite compelled. I'm like, okay, where is this going? Like, this is quite interesting.
Yeah.
It's got a very like typical melodramaticness of like just the workplace environment
of
Korea.
Yeah.
And how like,
oh yeah, yeah, I love how horrible everyone is.
Yeah, yeah. It's really just like fucking unsubtly horrible.
Yeah, just a grubby, gross man.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kind of leering at people. And then like even the women are like just making coffee for no reason.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, oh, she's so pretty, I hate her.
That actress was from XCID, I recognize that as well.
Oh, that's who it is, yeah.
I thought she looked familiar. This chick looks familiar. Yeah, and like, she doesn't have a big part in the show.
No, she doesn't. But
yeah.
I mean, there's just so many unlikable characters right from the get-go, and I love a good unlikable character.
Yeah, Koreans do it pretty well, too. Just like,
and there's just a lot of, like, commentary about, like, you know, beauty standards
in Korea.
And, just the patriarchy, I guess, as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I think that's what hooked me as well was, like, the aesthetic was not what I was expecting. It was kind of interesting. Each episode kind of ends with a cliffhanger as well.
Yeah,
I think that helps.
Yeah.
I think because I've said in this episode that I find it really hard to finish Korean dramas because
mm-hmm.
there's always pacing issues. At some point, mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. a lull. And that's usually where I drop off. But I didn't find that with this show. Like, it's 8 episodes, I think. Maybe about an hour-ish per episode.
Yeah, about now, yeah.
I think that's good.
That's a good
to
length.
Tell this kind of story, It's like, you don't need 22 episodes.
Yeah. And it's a limited series, so it ends. There wouldn't be a mask girl to... It wouldn't make sense,
So that's why, like... And there are time jumps as well. So it feels like you're getting a lot of story for the amount of episodes you're watching. Which I think really helped me finish this show. And I didn't even feel that there was a lull at any point.
Yeah.
Because like you said, each episode follows a different protagonist, really.
Yeah.
So you're almost getting like many different stories.
Yeah.
Even though Kim Mo-mi does appear multiple times, every portrayal of her is pretty different. So again, it's almost like you're getting different stories.
Yeah. I really like the unpredictability of the show. I think that's what I found very compelling because like, as we were saying, like, yeah, I didn't really know where it was going. I will have to say as exciting as the last couple of episodes are, it does kind of become a bit more generic, I think.
Mm.
There is a particular villain, I guess it's a villain or main antagonist that I quite enjoyed. I enjoyed watching it in those last couple of episodes, but it's just kind of like, it became predictable,
sure.
I think.
Yeah.
And it was satisfying, but it's also like, oh, yeah, it's a bit, just a little bit like neatly tied up, I think. But yeah, I just enjoyed like, there's a couple of dance numbers in there, which I enjoyed as like a throwback to, I guess, Nana covering after school, which was covering a Sundan B song. It was kind of cool to see her like back in the idol, in her sort of idol form. I didn't really like After School that much. I was more of an Orange Caramel guy.
Okay.
If you remember that group.
Yeah,
they were really quite funny. So
they had that song where they play ping pong, right?
Yeah. I forgot what it was called, but like Yeah, no, our Orange Karma were really cool. They had a very like quirky look that I don't really see that many idol groups have these days. I think that was the era where, like, I guess Orange Caramel or maybe Crayon Pop, they're like, there's a lot of girls with quirky, but now it's all like fake swag, as we call it. Yeah. It's all that shit.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I liked the songs in this. I feel like they did carry a retro vibe at times.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah, it does span over a few. Over more than a decade, I think. So, yeah,
the song that she dances to, like, I forgot how it goes, but like they play it in the end credits in the final episode.
Is that it's quite catchy.
No, that's the Son Dambi song. There's just like a song that she is always like dancing to when she's doing the webcam. Okay. And it's just kind of
I think I know
which I forgot how it goes. But like I remember it's always like it's quite catchy and it's quite like distinct and like I'd call it, like, from memory, like, frantic retro-ness, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good. Yeah, and I think, like, on the acting side of things, I think, yeah, everyone was hamming it up quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, really, really deliciously evil characters in there. And a few stoic characters as well. Yeah. There's a couple of child actors, which I didn't mind at all as well. I thought they were really good.
Yeah, yeah, true, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, but come to think of it, both of the child actors were really good.
Yeah,
quite likable. Yeah. Probably the only likable characters in this show.
Yeah, the child actors, yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, Korea, I guess, like Asia in general, they usually employ pretty good child actors because I think there's probably more at stake if you fuck up.
you get slapped by the director.
You get told off. Yeah, you can't do that in the West. You get a lawsuit against you, or you get canceled. So like, yeah, GG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this, yeah, because it is quite short by K-drama standards and like it tells an enclosed story. I think it's a good watch. Yeah, I would like even if I didn't have to watch for this show, I probably could have gotten through it.
Yeah,
I don't know if I would have started it, but I probably would have gotten through it.
I told you to watch it, didn't you? I just said check it out.
Because I was like, I noticed it, but it's just one of those things that pops up.
Yeah,
I was like,
there's a lot
quite easy to ignore. Like the Glory, I've heard is quite good.
Yeah, but the Glory is really good, but I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I haven't brought myself to watch it.
Yeah.
But it's probably good.
K-dramas, they're evolving. Like, I can see like the metaphor of a scientist like looking at a K-drama on a microscopic level. And it's like, oh my god, it's multiplying.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's they're good stuff.
Yeah, Netflix Koreans likes to fund them, I guess.
Yeah, their K-dramas are making big money. Yeah.
But yeah, I've been burned before. I watched one a while back called Somebody, and I was like, oh man, that sucked, and I spent so much time watching it.
Yeah,
actually,
it's hard when one is it's not good. Yeah, but yeah, do we just want to get into?
Yeah, should we get into spoilers?
Spoilers, yeah. So each episode, like, we said it's told from a different protagonist or different point of view.
Mm.
So the first three episodes is Mommy, and she. I did watch it a while ago since the time of recording, but I think she's having a bit of trouble at work or her identity has been like revealed.
Yeah. She has a crush on her boss.
Yeah.
And then she finds out that he's having an affair with that girl from EXID.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she gets upset by that. She reveals his affair to HR or whatever, or like starts a rumor, and then that gets him fired.
Yeah.
And then she finds him drunk and takes him to a love motel. And then that episode ends with her having left that love motel and then receiving an email threatening to expose her identity as Mask Girl.
Yeah.
So even though she's had her face covered, somebody has found out who she is. And then that is quickly revealed to be one of her co-workers who is also her biggest fan.
Yeah,
or one
yeah.
of her biggest fans. I like that kind of switching of perspectives as well. Like you kind of get to see the same story unfold through his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
where he's kind of obsessing over her. He finds out that, oh, he's actually working with this mask girl that he idolizes. Mm. His character's pretty funny.
Yeah, his character's pretty funny.
He's like got a blow up doll for a girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like a little bit too crazy, maybe, because he's like singing happy birthday to himself his blow up doll.
He's like the typical like otaku guy that is made fun of a lot in a lot of these Asian shows.
That guy, the guy kind of reminds me of in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, Jamie Foxx's character.
Oh yeah,
His introduction is like, this guy is a loser. Like, the movie goes really out of its way to show you that he's a loser. Like, almost a little too out of the way. Like, they go too far.
Very subtle.
He's like singing happy birthday to himself. Like, this is what this guy's doing. So, and then eventually this guy, like, he ends up killing a guy to protect Mask Girl.
Yeah.
And dismembering that body.
Yeah.
But then he also goes and gets himself killed
Mask Girl. By Mask Girl,
Because he sexually assaulted her.
So it's
kind of self-defense, but also, she straight up kills him.
Yeah, yeah.
She goes mental and kills him. What do you think about Mask Girl's arc, I guess?
Yeah, it's not perfect. And she's not a completely, like, her character is not black and white, I would say. Mm.
She kills is self-defense.
Yeah.
Second guy she kills is self-defense, but maybe going a bit too far.
Yeah. Like, who does she kill on the second?
She kills the guy that's trying to protect her, the otaku guy. So he's like forcing himself.
That's why she kills that first dude. Yeah, because he's like, I remember now, because he's like been a massive scumbag and he's trying to ID who Mask Girl is in real life, because he's like going on a date with her, and then like he's on a forum, he's like, oh, this bitch is like fucking ugly. But then he's like smooth talking, because like she's never really had attention for her like normal looks.
Yeah.
And she doesn't actually kill him. She thinks she kills him.
But
the guy that's protecting her actually like, He while he's in the process of dismembering this guy, he like kind of wakes up and is like, what the fuck? And then he kills him.
That's right. Yeah.
So not as graphic as I thought, but still like pretty violent. Yeah. Mm, it's not like Forest of Love, where that's like, whoa.
It's a lot of like implied dismemberment rather than visual.
I appreciate like when a show is like kind of going into like a grittier tone, and that's even with like Strong Girl Bong Soon as well. For a show that is aimed towards like girls, basically, there's kind of like a hint of like, not depravity, but it's like, it was surprisingly violent. So it's, a little something for everyone, because I'm assuming that there's probably a guy that doesn't want to watch that kind of show that's watching it with his girlfriend. And say, hey,
but you know, cool. Like if you try to please everybody, you're going to end up pleasing no one,
But that show's got good characters. So, and this show has good characters as well. Mm. Like I wouldn't say like they're good, like in a moral sense, but they're like,
no, they're
compelling characters, but, a character that I really enjoyed and who is the protagonist of the third episode that character's mother. And I should probably what are their names again?
So her character's name is Kim Kyung-ja, I think.
Yeah, Kyung-ja. She is like overprotective mother, but also she's like,
She hates her son, but she loves her son. After he's dead,
And she's like very religious as well. So she kind of goes on this vengeance spree. Not a spree, but she like wants to kill Mask Girl. Mm. And she doesn't want the cops involved. Mm. So she like kind of just goes.
She's on a quest for vengeance.
Yeah. And her justification is for all of her actions just being based on like God, I find like really funny. Like, it's interesting because Korea, out of all the countries that portray Catholics and Christians, Korean Korea seems to do it the most positive. Like, there's, I know that there's like, do you know what Pureflix is?
No.
It's like this Christian movie company.
Okay.
And they make movies for Christian.
Sure.
They make movies for everyone, but they're made by Christians.
I'm aware of the concept, yeah.
They're not, they don't follow the rules of cinema. So it's not like, it's not about like balancing characters. It's making every other person that is not a Christian look like the worst person possible.
Okay.
So that they get a lot of criticism for that. But I think, and this comes in Beef and in Minari, where like I get more of a sense of like community when it comes to portraying religion, and it's quite nice.
It's not the same as in like a lot of American films where it's like...
Where it's like Stephen King is like, you get back here or I'll fucking slap the shit out of you.
It's always like an over-the-top pastor. That's like the There Will Be Blood situation.
Yeah. It's interesting because a lot of America is like Christian, but like, the portrayal in films, I guess most films are made in LA, so it's like, yeah, a bit of a distrust in
Land
that.
Land of the heathens,
But I think in Mask Girl, Kyung Jae plays more of what the Western the stereotype of like an overprotective Christian mother who thinks like she can hear God speak to her saying that she must kill Mask Girl or something. And she's just like, she's basically the T-1000.
She's the pretty relentless. She is, yeah.
There are points where you think she dies, but she's not dead. She's fucking like pretty. She's pretty gangster.
She takes a rock to the back of the head, and then like she, they push her into like a lake in her car, and she just wakes up and just
gets
busts
out
the window open and just survives.
Yeah, like it's definitely like, it is it's a bit of a plot flaw, but it's also, it's not a flaw. It's just like, it is implausible, but it's also like, it didn't detract from the show because I found her character so enjoyably evil and fun to watch. Like, her episode is still pretty compelling, even though you want her to fail, like, at all costs by the end, because she does a pretty despicable thing in, like, the latter half of the series, but like, yeah, I particularly enjoyed her performance. Like, I thought it was really fun.
Well, everyone likes a good revenge story, right?
And like, it's just a badass grandma, badass Ajumma, you know?
It's weird because she survives the attack from Kim Momi and Kim Momi's friend who dies in that encounter. But. Yeah, the Ajumma does survive. And then she kind of goes into hiding. So she gets plastic surgery, right? I didn't realize that she'd gotten past plastic surgery and turned into a different person. They just look really similar to me, you know, the two actors. So I was like, oh, okay.
Did you pick that she was the grandma at the tteokbokki stand? Because I didn't.
There's a later episode where it follows Kim Momi's kid. And then like it tells about her upbringing and how wherever she goes, like the legend of Mask Girl follows her and people bully her because they find out that Mask Girl was her mother, so she can't really have a normal life. And then that eventually leads her to turn on like the only friend that she's had in years because she thinks that like her friend revealed her secret. And then like the end of that episode, there's a reveal where like the two friends are fighting there's an old lady watching them at a distance. And I'm like, oh, I know who this is. And she turns around and it's like, and yeah, I'm like, oh, that's Kim. That's the otaku's mom.
Oh, yeah. No, so, I didn't pick up on that. Yeah.
Because, like, who else would it be? Otherwise, it's just a random old lady.
I just didn't pick up on it. Yeah. I do want to talk about that friend character a bit. But, like, I guess to backtrack a bit about, like, Kim Mommy's best friend, she's kind of like, she had a similar like trajectory that Momi did. She was very pretty and she also wanted to be a star. And then, she got plastic surgery and a boob job.
Yeah.
And she's like, Kyungja is convinced that she's Mask Girl.
Yeah.
And then she's about to like murder her. But then she tells like Kyungja that actually, I know who you're talking about. I want like this bitch to be killed as well.
Yeah.
So then the episode is told from her perspective.
Yeah.
I forgot the character's name. I'll just bring it up. Kim Ye-chung. Yeah. So, yeah. Kim Ye-chung, I guess, because Kim must be a family name because everyone in Korea is a Kim. So she kind of leads her on a bit, and I find it pretty interesting. And then you find out that her and Mommy are actually like good friends. So this is a point where Mommy has turned into Nana, and Mommy must have had like the best plastic surgeon like of all time. But if you get turned into Nana, like, yeah.
Everybody would do it, I guess. And I guess a lot of people do try to do it. So I don't know. I don't know how good plastic surgery is in Korea. It must be pretty. But it's funny because, like, yeah, she does turn into Nana, but then Nana goes to prison at a point.
Yeah.
And she's getting, like, beaten up really badly.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm thinking, how good is that plastic? Is it going to stay in place even after getting punched in the face so much? But, yeah, I don't know how plastic surgery works.
Well, actually, like, I mean, going through the different versions of Mommy, like, the first version of Mommy is obviously, like, kind of, like, shy, reserved, a bit weird, like, I guess slightly quirky. And then, obviously, post-plastic, like, Nana, you know, version, she's obviously, like, more confident and stuff, but still, like, well, how would you describe, like, Nana's... Mommy,
she's
like,
a bit more stoic, I guess. She's less quirky, and I mean, especially after she goes to prison,
So she, she gets caught, she confesses to like murdering,
She turns herself in eventually after having her kid, I guess, to protect her kid in a way, So she drops her kid off at her mum's place, who she is estranged from, but the mum. Whose name is Young Hee. So she takes the daughter in, and Mask Girl turns herself into the cops. So she goes to prison for killing a bloke or two, maybe.
a bloke or two.
So there's a whole episode where the Nana version of Mommy is in prison. And she's just kind of like quiet, right? But then there's like a point where like she gets picked on by this gang, a prison gang. And then I found that part really funny.
Yeah, I really like this part.
She just picks one member of the gang and just keeps going after it and like fighting with it. She keeps
getting chucked into like solitary confinement.
Yeah, and then as soon as she comes out of solitary, she just goes after her again. Beats, and then it gets to the point where like that one person is just really scared of her because she's fucking mental.
She becomes a bit of a bitching psycho.
I found that really enjoyable. So yeah, I think to answer your question, I think Nana's portrayal of Mommy is more kind of like she's got nothing to lose. She's checked out of life, I guess. Yeah.
And even the style like changes. Like the first two episodes is more of like a not an erotic thriller, but it's like it is like more of a thriller. I can't think of the other erotic thriller. Like, I'm sure there's another.
Erotic thriller, like your Basic Instincts kind of thing.
Whereas when she becomes Nana, it becomes more like about being on the run, becomes more of a like a detective kind of thing, I guess, because Kyungja is like...
Yeah, you get the perspective of Kyungja and her friend.
Yeah, then you see like the kind of deceit that her friend is telling Kyungja. Yeah, but eventually her friend is killed in like a final in a showdown, I guess. Like she like catches on to Nana and her friend trying to escape, but like she cops the bullet for Nana. The fucking grandma with a fucking shotgun. Maybe not T-1000, T-100, because, she's got a shotgun. So, and then in the prison section, it's like, it goes black and white. I'm not sure if the aspect ratio changes or not, but like...
I don't think so.
Yeah. They didn't go too artsy-fartsy, but like, I kind of like that. I'm a bit of a sucker for like black and white, like modern black and white stuff these days. Mm. Like, you know, like The Lighthouse and even in Kim Ji-won's Cobweb, where bits of it are black and white.
Okay,
and
I haven't watched that movie yet.
And Blonde, the movie that everyone hated last year, but I liked. So
I don't know how deliberate this choice was to compared to those films, but yeah, I mean, I didn't mind it.
I thought it was cool. This added this like kind of bleakness to it, I guess, and then it eventually changes from like Nana to the third actress, who, yeah, her portrayal is also very different, just kind of the more, well, maybe more stoic and more hardened, but kind of like just like leagues and miles away from what Mommy used to be in like 2009. And at this point, it's like, yeah, we follow her kid as well. And her, like, you know, as you said, like troubles with being exposed as Mask Girl's daughter and her like interactions with her friend, who I find an interesting character, but like I wonder about like her motivations as well. Like she kind of makes up that like she's being abused and stuff by her parents.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, like she's not. She's just in like a normal family. Yeah.
I kind of get it though, because she's also an outcast, right? Yeah, and she really wants to be Momi's friend. So kind of makes up, I guess they're not white lies, but from a teenager's perspective, you could see like them being kind of harmless lies, I guess, just to kind of befriend Momi, because she wants to kind of find common ground with this person that she just thinks is really cool.
Yeah.
I think that's something that teenagers would do. I'm pretty sure I've done that in the past as well. Just told little lies here and there.
It's a pretty extreme lie, though.
The male equivalent of saying that your uncle works at Nintendo, you know?
Oh, or that your uncle worked undercover.
At
point, it was pointing a machine gun at someone.
I think because they're both teenagers, like, I quite like that arc. And yeah, like, you know, it's kind of going to lead to disaster at a point, because of course, like, you know, lies are going to catch up. Lies in a TV show are just going to catch up with you. I found that story really endearing, actually, because they both in their own way have kind of had a hard life. So you're kind of rooting for both of them.
Yeah.
But then there's like these unseen forces that are kind of, you know, adding conflict to their story. And at first you think that, you know, this best friend character has kind of brought it on herself because she's told a bunch of lies.
Yeah.
But then you find out that it's actually the T-1000 that's kind of spread all these rumors and has like secretly been sabotaging the daughter Mimo's life from the shadows. So she was the one that revealed that, that keeps revealing that Mask Girl is her mom, no matter which town she moves to, because this is still kind of part of her petty revenge against Mask Girl.
It's so evil as well. And like her justification.
She has to follow her to all the towns that she moves to.
It's so fucking villainous. It's very, she's come straight out of a Stephen King novel. Just like fucking,
it's so good.
Yeah.
And it's revealed as well that she's actually the Dokboki Ajima that that Mimo has kind of befriended as well. That's pretty cool. I didn't see that coming.
And it's because there's like, because Momi has this kind of arc where she's still in prison and she's like found God or something.
But did she really though?
Because I was thinking that as well. Because like, did she find God because she wanted to like get a lighter sentence, or she like literally like she actually legitimately? But then like,
it's kind of ambiguous.
Yeah, it's a bit ambiguous, because like because she breaks out of prison because the T-1000 goes to sass like Morby while she's in prison, because it's like a senior's visit from the Christian community or something. So Morby does something against like the warden, like a new warden who's like,
but she tries to escape.
Yeah, that's it. She tries to escape because
and fails.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she gets a letter from an unknown source and saying that, like, oh, your daughter, I'm going to get your daughter or whatever. So she's like, ah, shit, I got to get out of here, save my daughter. So she tries to break out, but then fails and then gets thrown into solitary for a long, long time. And then that's where she finds God.
Yeah.
And then she kind of acts like she's found God, and she's like, she offers to give her kidney to save, like, the gang boss's daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, you're still kind of thinking, is this legit or is this like a ploy? Like, what's she doing here? Has she really found God? And then, the Ajima, evil Ajima, T-1000 finds her at the prison and sasses her,
yeah,
as you said. So then she's like, oh, shit, I really got to get out of here. But also, I've still found God.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I think it's kind of ambiguous. I don't mind that it's ambiguous that whether she actually did find God or whether she was just kind of using it to get out, because she does eventually use it to get out. She they transfer her to a hospital to get her kidney taken out, but they have to do it in secret because it's not a legitimate transaction,
yeah.
Right? And then while they're at the hospital, she's like, can you go get my Bible to the cops? So one of the cops leaves.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she's like, go toilet to the other cop. So they go. And then she eventually busts him on the head and escapes, which was exciting. I like that scene.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
Well.
It's pretty exciting. I think the thing about like those, as I was saying before, it's exciting, but like, I don't know, like it just got a little bit predictable at that point. Because it's like, you know, she's going to go and like rescue Nemo.
Yeah, I guess she has to for the show to end, really. But I don't think that detracted from the tension of the scene.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty fast scene as well. So,
yeah. No, not the scene. I think it's just like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't know particularly which direction or how it should have ended or how it should have gone. But it's kind of like, becomes a pretty like typical. It becomes the fugitive, basically. Yeah.
But I thought you were talking more about the bunch of sacrifices at the end. So, like,
yeah, that as well is what I was saying. Like, everyone just kind of sacrifices
everybody
themselves.
Everybody sacrifices themselves and is redeemed through the act of sacrifice,
yeah,
basically.
Because, like, Mommy's mother sort of sacrifices herself.
Yeah, she gets killed off screen.
Because like, she gets killed off screen because like you think the T-100 is dead.
I don't know why you wouldn't double tap her. This woman has survived a lot.
And you
think she's going to go down for good after breaking a plate on her head? I don't think so. So yeah, she's
not John Wick though, man. She's just Mommy. She's a cam girl.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. So first Mommy's mom sacrifices herself and then Mommy herself sacrifices herself to save her daughter. I mean, like, it is pretty predictable. I think I do like it when the villain just goes out in a blaze of glory, when they're just pinned down by cops and they've got a gun, and you're like, I know what's gonna happen.
She's gonna try to shoot the daughter. It's very fun, yeah. Like, yeah, I probably like in hindsight now, like, it's pretty good, it's very, very entertaining, but like, yeah, it's just kind of like comparing it to the unpredictability of like what came before it. I thought it was, oh yeah, it kind of like just ends like pretty predictably, but maybe, you know, like that's not always a bad thing as well. Like a lot of shonen anime and stuff is always like quite predictable, but it's just kind of fun to watch the journey.
I think it was the fact that it ended without too much faffing about, I think, helped sell it for me. Like,
maybe it was just the sacrifices. Just a lot of them.
A couple in a row. I would have probably preferred if Mommy's mom had have lived through it, maybe. But
I would have preferred if Mommy and Mimo had more time to talk to each other.
I think that's kind of what makes it a bit more tragic, though.
Yeah.
Is like they finally have found each other, but like they get taken away. And also, like, I feel like Mommy had to die.
I kind of knew that she was going to die. Like, at that point, like, yeah, she's going to die somehow.
Because, like,
they're not going to let her go.
Despite all her troubles, like, her actions were pretty despicable.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She had to redeem herself in some way. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess the grandmother was a bit of a dick as well. So.
She is a bit of a dick. Yeah,
but yeah, it is predictable in a sense that you always know that Mimo is going to survive the encounter, right? Like, there's no, she's not really, even though she is in danger from the audience's point of view. You know, she's going to just live through everything. Yeah, but no, I think it was pretty fun time.
Pretty solid watch. Yeah, for a show that I was just going to watch like as a throwaway, so I could like, you know, perv on Nana, I was like, oh yeah, this is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's quite interesting. I liked a lot of the I like how well this show was shot.
Mm.
You know, doesn't have the Netflix curse.
Yeah, it felt like high quality television.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I always appreciate it when like a show takes its time to like, you know, frame something properly or like tell, because it's storytelling through that visual aspect, that visual lens.
Mm.
You know, I'm not sure if I'm remembering this wrong, but is there like a little bit of animation in this show? Oh, actually. The title sequence is really cool.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. The art of the title sequence is getting, I appreciate that this show is a Netflix series and it still has a title sequence.
Yeah.
Cause a lot of like Netflix produced TV series just don't have it.
Yeah. Cause
you cunts can't, you know, it's like, oh, fuck it. I don't want to watch
it. I mean, watch it once and skip it. Fine.
I miss the art of the fucking opening intro, man. Like, opening intro is so cool. Like, yeah. Game of Thrones, fucking Hawaii 5-0. Those are very different shows at different time periods.
Those
like,
are the two that came to mind.
Yeah. But just like True Detective. Yeah.
Friends.
Friends. Like, how iconic is that?
Yeah.
And now it's just like, it's just the title and a word. And it's just like, yeah. Make a cool opening title. Like,
just bring the extra buck to make a nice animated title, yeah. I guess. Yeah, why not?
It really does set the tone of the show quite well, the opening title, because it's weird and it's just a mixture of like things. Like, yeah. It's very like kind of, it is very kind of like noir, Femme Fatale-esque. Yeah. Like, yeah. But also like with a slight horror, almost horror vibe to it, even though I wouldn't say this show is horror.
Kind of reminds me of like the Pink Panther.
Yeah, theme. A little bit like a twisted Pink Panther. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I really enjoy it. I watch the opening title for each episode.
Yeah, well, yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
I watched the once.
You guys, just like skipping the title. I think I'm the only person that watches the titles. Yeah.
Even in anime?
Even in anime. If the song is cool, I'll watch it. Okay. Like, yeah. It's cool, man. I just want to like the, it's like a lot of effort went into these titles, you know?
Yeah. All right. And
yeah, yeah. Nana's good as well.
Yeah. It kind of makes me want to watch the Glory more.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Masco has been that well received. I think
it's got like kind of a mixed review.
Okay.
It's a little bit weird for people.
I think it's a bit tonally weird as well.
Yeah.
Do you think that means the Glory is probably more basic than something like this?
Yeah, probably.
I feel like audiences are looking for something that's different as well. Yeah, like, Squid Game was kind of tonally weird as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I might be overgeneralizing a little bit. But, it's just, I think it's hard because, like, Squid Game and probably Glory have, like, sympathetic characters and empathetic characters because they're, like, maybe not bad people.
Yeah, I guess in this show everybody's pretty terrible.
Yeah. So, Squid Game Season 2 was announced a few months back now with the cast list. And
good.
Yeah. We'll probably cover that.
Now's the right time because no one in Hollywood is working at the moment.
So. Yeah. Well, apparently that's supposed to end pretty soon. I think.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get your She-Hulk Season 2 finally to end.
Yes. Hanging out for it.
Yeah. No.
I think that's all we have to say about Mask Girl.
Yeah. I think that's it. I think that's it for Mask Girl. Okay.
But guys, what did you think about Mask Girl? Did you enjoy it? If you've seen it, are there any Netflix Korean TV shows of this ilk that we should check out? Has anybody watched The Glory? Let us know. You can get in touch with us at twoagentblokes@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group to be part of the conversation, or you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at twoagentblokes to see what we're up to. Until next time, guys.
Yes.
Thank you for listening, as always.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.